So what are the marches of Brittany? Where were they situated? And why did they play such an important part in Brittany's fight for independence? The marches, known also as the borders, were situated in Department 35, the Ile-de-Vilaine. Imagine a line starting at the Baie du Mont-Saint-Michel, taking in Dol de Bretagne, down to Rennes, over to Vannes, and then on to Nantes, not forgetting the fortified towns of Vitré and Fougères, which played an important part in this buffer zone. With settlers coming from Cornwall and Wales in the 6th century, Armorica became known as Little Britain or Brittany, Britannia, and enjoyed a relatively peaceful existence for 200 or so years. Over in the east, in Ile-de-Vilaine, thanks to the marches, an independent kingdom from the rest of France was established, founded by King Nomino and succeeded by his son, Erispo. Having the nearest border to France, the Ile-de-Vilaine was and still is more French than Breton, with its own language Gallo, not Breton, then being widely spoken. On a number of occasions, the Normans attempted invasions, but although outnumbered, the Bretons kept them at bay. And from the mid-10th to 14th century, Brittany evolved into a feudal state with a vassal duchy. Kings and dukes seemed to come and go with alarming and usually violent rapidity. And in spite of these battles in the east, the country dwellers over to the west led relatively peaceful lives, producing high-quality dairy produce and an abundance of vegetables and fish. But that's another story. Between 1342 and 1364, Brittany was ravaged by the warring of two families, and this conflict became part of the Hundred Years' War between France and England, although Brittany remained relatively neutral. John IV of Montfort and his English allies continued to support an almost independent Brittany, thus foiling the ambitions of the then King of France to subjugate the country. The Breton state reached its peak of power in the 15th century, with the Duke of Brittany enjoying the status of ruler after being crowned in Rennes and taking up residence in Nantes. This was the flowering of the Breton Gothic style, patronising artists and encouraging an interpretation of history that exalted Breton culture. However, all good things come to an end, and it was the Battle of St. Aubin de Cormier near Fougères that sounded the death knell for Brittany's independence in 1532. The Treaty of Union of 1532 ensured the Bretons that their rights, freedom and privileges would be respected, and Rennes became the regional capital. An important person and central figure in the history of Brittany was that of Anne of Brittany. Married first to Charles VIII, then to Louis XII, both kings of France, she stood both for the duchy's independence and its integration with France. A patron of the arts, she aided the development of Breton culture, and even today, some Bretons revere her, almost as a saint. Dying in 1514, at only 37 years old, she achieved a great deal in her short life. And that's where our story ends.
hang on. Good afternoon. Oh, good morning. What is your favourite Robert Redford film?
Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Why?
Because it's just... I think it's a good film.
OK. Any ideas?
All the President's Men.
OK.
Because it's a bit...
Very clever film.
Because he thinks it's a very clever film.
You thought it was simple, didn't you?
Yeah.
He didn't get the plot.
A bit intrigued, that's all.
And it's Out of Africa.
Out of Africa? No, I haven't seen that one. Who's in that with him?
Oh, what's her name? Meryl Streep.
Oh, OK, yeah, right.
It's a very good film.
Yeah. Good, OK, thank you for that. This is for Elaine's piece for the Robert Redford tribute. Okay.
Also be used by Marilyn for her French classes. Okay, so
right.
She will probably put a screen up or something because she projects.
Right.
Right. Okay. Just quickly, Marilyn. So, Simon, from a male point of view, what is your thoughts on Robert Redford's
films?
Oh,
I think we all hate him. No.
Jealous.
I think it's strange. I've seen several films of Robert Redford's, but I've never been a great fan. And I think he's just one of those actors, these archetypal American stone, you know, solid sort of lantern-jawed, I don't know what the word is. And a bit like Brad Pitt, you know, I think Brad Pitt's got the same kind of gravitas and Americanness, and I don't think actually Robert Redford was a terribly versatile actor. You never see him in a vulnerable sort of, broken. Oh, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe
No. I think there were films.
Well,
I mean, after 50, it's hard to remember.
But I think great, great movie star. And a fantastic with Sundance, to have established Sundance and got it, an internationally recognised festival to bring new filmmakers from all over the world onto the sort of world stage. But he's got that. He's always Robert Redford. Whenever I see a film with someone like Robert Redford, it's like Cary Grant. It's always Robert Redford. And he's playing a completely different character, but he always has that slightly sort of, sideways sort of inscrutability.
Maybe Jeremiah Johnson.
Yeah, I haven't seen that.
He disappears up into.
But I'll obviously be editing this, so I'll edit out anything disparaging that I'm saying, which makes me look like
it's good to get another point of view because.
But no, I have no idea. What other, from a man's point of view, I have no idea what other men think of Robert Redford. I love his duo with, when he worked with Paul Newman on The Sting and on Butch Cassidy, that was great chemistry. Nowadays they'd call it a bromance, which is ridiculous, but, he had great chemistry, and to see on the screen great chemistry between actors is great, because that's what it's all about.
Well, I think he's... I think, from my point of view, I think he was very highly respected in not only the cinemas, American cinemas, but also over the world. I mean, I got here this magazine, French one, and who are very cinema people, aren't they? It features very much as part of their lives. It's a big institute. And this, just looking at these pages, shows how much he was respected. And I can go back, I think... I think Butch Cassidy came out in the 70s or
69,
that's right. And that would that's probably, that's I think the first Redford film I saw, and it's still really, really popular. It's still, there's always an extract when they were on, when he, because he died recently, there's been a lot of tributes paid to him on television programmes, radio, and they always pick out, particularly the scene where he's standing with Paul Newman, and they have to jump, which is, they make it humorous.
Yeah.
They're going, and he says, well, I can't swim.
Yeah.
And then Paul Newman is...
the fall will kill you anyway.
Says, yes, the fall. Classic lines like that. And then I have to say, out of Africa, I did discover I've got, you know, the tape, little tape, reel-to-reel tapes, I've got the music of that, amazing music from that film amongst my collection. And that, I thought, was extraordinary because
so
of the...
score for that?
It was a it's a David Lean film.
David Lean
directed it, but I can't remember who the... but beautiful, beautiful music, iconic music. And Meryl Streep, of course, I thought, you lucky person, you having him washing your hair. And it was, again, the most beautiful and sad, because he obviously... but it's based on a true story. He dies at the end.
Sorry, it's annoying me because David Lean tends to use the same composer and I've forgotten about this. Out of Africa, might mention them.
And then if I had to choose another one, I was tossing up between All the President's Men, which was about the...
Sidney Pollack did that.
Sidney Pollack, was it? Yeah.
Mm.
All the President's Men is about the... what scandal? It was a scandal, wasn't it? I can't...
All the President's Men is... Sousa Valence, is that? No, isn't it?
No, All the President's Men. It's about a newspaper.
About... Nixon,
that's it, yes. Watergate, that's right. All the President's Men with Dustin Hoffman, which was, again, very good. And then Marilyn mentioned The Great Gatsby. Oh, The Horse Whisperer. I think probably that's one I could watch again and again with Kristen Scott Thomas, and a very young Scarlett Johansson.
Ooh. Oh, that's much more interesting.
So it's, I would say that the cinema world, the world of actors and cinema, have lost indeed a legend in terms of an actor. I know it has a different appeal from us ladies to you men, but I would say, I dispute that he hasn't got a great range, because I think he probably has shown that in... the over 50 films that he has actually been part of. And, of course, the iconic Sundance Film Festival, which I think it was the latter. He withdrew from acting, I think, reaching a certain age, and looks began to go and then set up that. So, there we go. Homage to Robert Redford.
Oh, Dave Gleason. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Score by Dave Gleason.
All right.
Which is
score
not
by...
because Dave Gleason. I've forgotten who I was thinking it was. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It's not for the interview. It's just an interview.
Anyway, thank you for your contributions.